Well, this morning we finish our sermon series, How Sweet the Sound. It's a sermon series where we have been looking at some of the great hymns of faith, hymns that have shaped us, hymns that have taught us who God is, the hymns that we know by heart and we take with us. And of course, this morning we finish with the greatest hymn of all, the hymn that is consistently ranked the most beloved hymn in all of Christendom, Amazing Grace. Now, you might already know a little bit about Amazing Grace. You might know some of the story of the author of Amazing Grace, John Newton, who wrote it back in the 18th century. But we're going to look again at his story. We're going to look at the story behind this music, of what that grace looked like in his life. Before we go to the text, though, will you join with me in a word of prayer? Have thine own way, O Lord, have thine own way. For you, O God, are our potter. We are your clay. Amen. Well, a theologian by the name of William Mule tells the story of his grandfather, who set a record in his hometown for the number of times one person could experience a religious conversion. You see, William Mule said every time his grandfather went to church, which wasn't that often, but every time he went, his grandfather got saved. He said it didn't matter how good the sermon was, it didn't matter how in tune the choir sang, you could set your watch to it. The cycle, the pattern was always the same. He'd show up at a church service, the final hymn would begin to be sung, the preacher would offer an altar call, and his grandfather would come down to the front in tears, and he would always cry out saying, I'm sorry, Lord, help me, Lord, forgive me. His conversion typically lasted about 18 hours, because on Monday morning, he would always end up in the same bar again. A few weeks later, the cycle would repeat itself. The final hymn would be sung. He would go down to the front. He would give his life to Christ, and yet it never seemed to stick. Within hours, he would be back to his old ways again. You see, sometimes that can happen to a person. Sometimes a person can have a great encounter with God. Sometimes a person can be touched by grace. And yet nothing seems to change in their life. With that, I take you back to the story of John Newton, the author of Amazing Grace. You see, John Newton was born in 1725. He was the son of a shipmaster. Now, he wasn't a particularly religious person growing up. His mother was a great person of faith, but his mother died when he was just 7 years old. He was left to fend for himself. By the age of 11, he was already out on the high seas. By the age of 18, he had joined the Royal Navy. By the age of 20, he had got entangled in the slave trade, buying and selling people. He was a survivor, someone who would do anything just to make it to the next day. But then one day, his life changed. It was March 10th, 1748. When John Newton said he was jolted awake while he was at sea by a sudden storm that came so suddenly and so violently, the crew did not have time to respond. Newton said he and his fellow sailors were at the mercy of the sea. They fought the storm as long as they could, but eventually they ran out of options. Eventually there was nothing left for them to do, and so well, in a moment of desperation, John Newton cried out to God. He asked God for mercy. He prayed that God would intervene. He prayed that the storm would stop, and it did. The storm stopped, and he was safe. Later on, he would write in his journal this. He said, on the 10th of March, the Lord came from on high and delivered me out of deep waters. Now you would think that kind of experience would change a person. To have that kind of life and death encounter with God, you would think that would transform you, that you would be different. And it did change John Newton. Well, it changed him for about 18 hours. But then after the storm passed, after the danger was gone, he went back to life as it had always been. He went back to the slave trade, buying and selling people. He went back to surviving from one day to the next. It was as if nothing really happened. John Newton, he was like a sheep, one that wandered away from the flock. And the shepherd went out and got the sheep and returned it to the 99. But just as soon as he came back to the 99, the sheep goes and gets lost again. It's a cycle. It's a pattern. Sometimes you just can't escape it. I remember talking to a person once who said to me, "You know, David, I just can't stop getting into the same argument with my wife at night." He said, "Every night, it's always the same. Every night, we sit there and we fight about the same thing. She says I'm too emotionally distant. I say that she's too needy, I need more space. She cries, I yell, and we sleep in different bedrooms." He said, "The next morning, we always wake up and apologize. The next morning, we always say, we're never going to do this again. But as soon as the sun goes down, it's like we can't help ourselves. We get stuck in the same cycle." Do you know what that experience is like? Have you been there before? You get trapped in that same pattern of mistakes you've always made. You experience God's grace. You experience a moment where you think things are going to be different, but eventually you fall back into your old habits again. It's a very human experience. I mean, just ask the Israelites. God saved them from Pharaoh. God liberated them from captivity, but after a little while, they went back to worshiping that golden calf. Or just ask Peter. Jesus called him to be a disciple, but after a little while, he ran out of faith. You see, you tell yourself this time is different. You tell yourself that this time you mean it. But before you know it, you slip back into the same bad habits you always had. Yes, John Newton was saved at sea. John Newton experienced a miracle of biblical proportions. And yet the experience did not last. And yet here's the amazing part of the story. The amazing part of the story is this. Despite the fact that John Newton couldn't keep going forward in his faith, despite the fact that John Newton kept slipping back into those same bad habits, well, God did not give up on him. Instead, the story goes, God continued to reach out to him. God continued to bring him back again and again and again. You see, for John Newton, his conversion didn't happen in a moment. Instead, his conversion was more of a lifetime. It was a time of God taking his life and slowly, very slowly, over time, turning it into something more beautiful. You see, without realizing it, God began to work on John Newton. He said after a while, he stopped drinking as much, and a little while later, he stopped gambling like he used to. Eventually, he said, he fell in love. Eventually, he adopted two little girls. And eventually, he actually did quit the slave trade. You see, God took him and somehow began to transform him from the inside out. By the time he was in his 30s, he became a lay minister. By the time he was in his 40s, he became a priest. By the time he was in his 50s, he became an abolitionist. And by the time he was 82, he partnered with William Wilberforce to help end the slave trade in England. Now notice, and this is the important part, notice, it did not happen all at once. Instead, slowly over time, God began to transform him. God's grace, it continued to surround him, even as he went two steps forward and one step back. And at the end of the life, he wrote a hymn that testified to the ways in which God hadn't given up on him. A hymn that testified to the ways that God not only saved him, but continued to save him. And it went on to become the most amazing hymn, the most transformative hymn in Christian history. Now, amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Now, God doesn't give up on any of us. It doesn't matter how many times we wander away. It doesn't matter how many times we revert to our old bad habits. God doesn't give up on us. Said he's like a good shepherd, always searching, always seeking, always looking to bring back the lost one again and again and again. Where can I go from your spirit, O Lord? And where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there you are with me. And your right hand holds me fast. Now, God refuses to give up. He doesn't give up on any of his sheep. At my last church, I used to work with a worship leader who, to this day, remains one of the most talented musicians I've ever known. I mean, the man could do things on his guitar that, it would make the angel Gabriel jealous. I mean, he was just amazing in the ability to communicate his faith through music. Every Sunday morning, he wore his heart on his sleeve. He led with such passion and energy. It was such a gift to the congregation. But our worship leader did have one growing edge. You see, the worship leader at our church, that man cursed like a sailor. Or if not like a sailor, then like Coach K. I mean, it was bad. I remember going up to him one day and saying, you know, Eric, I know we're all human. I do. And we all have our growing edges, but you really have to work on this profanity. I mean, you are on staff here at church. You have to understand people expect a certain level of decorum when it comes to their ministers. You really need to fix this. He said, you know, I know. He said, it is a hell of a problem. But you know the good news, he said, is God is still working on me. He is still working on me. No, I hope you haven't given up on God, because I know this, God has not given up on you. He's been looking for you. He's been searching for you. And he won't stop until he finds you. And maybe your conversion happens in a moment, or maybe it's a conversion that takes an entire lifetime, but I know this, he will keep looking until one day he brings you home again. Yes, through many dangers, toils, and snares, we have already come. 'Twas grace that brought me safe thus far. And grace, it will lead us home. Thanks be to God for the gift of his amazing grace. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Will you pray with me? Eternal God, we thank you that you do not give up on any of your sheep. But like that good shepherd, you continue to seek and to search and to find. And so, God, when we lose faith in ourselves, when we lose faith in your love, we pray that you would continue to reach out and transform us so that we might know that indeed we belong to you and you might lead us home once more. For we offer this prayer in your Son's name. Amen.